I'm just overwhelmed by the Lord's presence. It's just, there's nothing like sitting at God's feet. And I pray that each of our hearts would encounter the same thing. You know, I got this app in my phone that gives me a verse every day. I don't live by that verse alone, but I really love it because I schedule it. Every day it sent me a verse. Surprisingly, every morning I got a verse that's just like, wow. This morning I was driving here and the verse that popped up is 1 Peter. It says, humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. It was a good reminder for me to humble myself under the mighty hand of God. In the past 3 weeks, I thank God for the many preachers that he brought us. Good words, Dr. Vic, thank you. Felix, Kendra, thank you. It just happened that in 3 weeks I didn't have to preach, but here, I didn't have to preach here, but I was still preaching the word. But at the same time, the first day of the month of June, there's a word that came to me. I was driving here and the Lord said, you know I speak, right? I was like, yeah, God, I know you speak. But why doesn't people hear my voice? So I'm like, okay, why don't we hear God's voice? So I'm like, okay, what are you trying to say, God? What are you trying to say, Lord? And he said, this is not for you to tell the church. It's for you, Ricardo. I want to speak to you. But right now you have so many other voices speaking in your life. And I said, what are they, Lord? Now, I'm not telling you to not go home and not, I'm not telling you to go home not watching the news. That's not what I'm saying. And then the Lord started pointing different things that I listen throughout the day. For example, you know, sometimes we spend time listening to the news. You know, that's a voice. You know what authority is? Authority is the anything that has the ability to influence you. Anything that can influence you is an authority. Anything you allow to influence you, even the music you listen to, the stuff you watch on TV, the friend you listen to, the preacher. You know, out there are some people, they say they don't want to come to church physically because they don't want to rub with people, so they go to church online. So they do have a preacher they listen to online. That preacher, God is using them, yeah. The only thing is, those people, they're not in community. But whoever, whatever voice you allow in your life is influencing you. So, okay, I said, oh, well, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? So I did a 5 days fast of many different things. It was so refreshing, but also so challenging. I had no idea how many times during the day I pick my phone and I go on Facebook. I don't do anything bad on Facebook. I actually go check my Facebook if you have Facebook. I just sent Bible verses. But then the Lord was like, Ricardo, does every verse you read, you have to post it on Facebook? I'm not telling you, I'm just giving you my testimony, where I have been with the Lord in the past 3 weeks, not being able to bring the word here. He's working in my life. I'm changing from glory to glory. I have more than ever a deeper desire for us as a church to be on fire for Jesus. The love of many are growing cold. Pastors are losing their passion. Believe me, I feel it too. Sometimes I want to quit. I want to give up. I won't quit. I won't give up. Jesus is not a quitter. You know what he said in Gethsemane? It's like, Lord, is there another way, Father? Is there another way? And then the Bible says he started crying. Sweat, blood. Because he was in so much pain. But he said, Father, not my will, but your will. And that's what I say every day, God. I say, Lord, and I pray the same thing for your life. I say, Lord, not my will. Don't let me get entangled in Ricardo's world. Because then I lose focus. I pray that the Lord would maybe challenge you to fast something to make room in your mind for him. Back in the days, silence used to drive me crazy. Never liked to be by myself. I love to fill the space. Some of us, we like that. We like to fill the space with noise. But there's nothing like being in the stillness of God's presence. Some of us don't like it because our thoughts hunt us. Our past hunt us. Our worries hunt us. But there's nothing like it when you make room for the Holy Spirit by shutting down other voices. It could be you being in your car this week, being intentional every time you get in your car. You don't have to listen this podcast. You don't have to listen to this song. How about create room for the Holy Spirit to speak? For the Holy Spirit to open your eyes to this crazy driver that's driving like a mad person, and for you to start praying, standing in the gap for them. There is nothing like when you give yourself to others and you feel rejected. I was reading the book of Matthew, 1 Corinthians, and I realized, man, nobody else on earth has ever felt rejection like Jesus did. Think about it, guys. Jesus took 12 scumbags. Those guys, they were terrible like me. They were like us. They didn't get it. Stubborn, have their own ideas. Jesus is trying to teach them. But what Jesus is teaching them, they have a different idea of what Jesus is saying. As a matter of fact, Jesus told the disciples, I'm going to die, and 3 days later, I'm going to raise from the dead. They couldn't receive, okay, Jesus is going to die, 3 days later, he's going to raise from the dead. No, they're like, no, Lord, you shouldn't say that. You shouldn't say you're going to die, because this thing's so good, you're so good to us. But yet, of course, the Holy Spirit wasn't there, so their life weren't being transformed until Jesus after death. But in the past 3 weeks, I also was meditating on rejection. When you invest in people's life, when you invest in your children, in your husband, your wife, your, you know, somebody you trust, and they misuse your goodness, your kindness. And then, believe it or not, this person, of course, she became a famous person, but her goal wasn't to be a famous person. Mother Teresa, right? You guys know Mother Teresa, right? Beautiful soul. The only thing she wanted to do was to remain faithful in what God was asking her to do, was to serve the poor. And then she was God's hands, Jesus' hands in serving the poor. And then what happened? Of course, we all know her. But there's this one good poem I want to bring to you guys in introduction to my message today. You can put it on the screen for me. It says, do it anyway. I was thinking maybe I should preach a sermon. No, I'm like, no, this is a poem. It's online. Go. This is not the word, but this is not like a Bible verse, but when I read this, I'm like, this is the kingdom. Do it anyway. People are often unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered, but forgive them anyway. If you're kind, people may accuse you of selfish, alter your motives. Be kind anyway. And this is when we say, Holy Spirit, help me. This is where I say, Holy Spirit, this is where I really need you right now. Because I have nothing in me anymore. I have nothing left to be kind. But thank God that the fruit, one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is what? Kindness. That's what she's saying. If you're successful and you will some false friends and true enemies, succeed anyway. If you're honest and frank, people may cheat you. Be honest anyway. What you spent years building, someone could destroy overnight. Build anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, they may be jealous. Be happy anyway. If the good you do today, people will often forget tomorrow, do good anyway. Give the world the best you have. And that's what Jesus did. And it may never be enough. Give your best anyway. You see, in the final analysis, it is between you and God. It was never between you and those you serve. I can't tell you how many days in the past couple of weeks I've read this. And then I felt comforted. And I'm like, bring it on. Bring the hurt on. I said, you cannot stop me. I said, bring it on. Reject me as much you can. Because when I serve you, it shouldn't be between me and you. Listen, if I'm loving you for a response, that's selfish love. In my marriage, if I'm loving my wife to have something back, if she's loving me in response for me to sweep the floor, do the dishes, all the other things you ladies do at the house, I thank God for you. If she's loving me for those things, that's selfish love. That's that unconditional love. The love God wants us to spread around is His kind of love. And we can do it. Look at your neighbor. Say, you can do it. Come on, find somebody. Say, you can do it. You can love people. Come on, you can. If your neighbor is sleeping, wake him up. You can do it. Man, I know I can do it. So among this, this is one, just one of the, among so many things God is, was teaching me. So this morning, I also want to take this time to talk to you about why do we sing? I know some people, sometimes they ask themselves, why do we sing the same song? The cows are in the field, the cows are in the field. You know, holy, holy, holy. Why do we sing so much? Maybe you haven't asked yourself this question, but I actually have heard it. I've heard some people say, you know, why do you sing so much? If you guys remember our core values here at Restoration Church, we have 12 core values. And one of them is we value worship. Why do we value worship? Through worship, we bless God and minister to Him. We praise Him for who He is through singing or other type of expressive worship. For example, sometimes you've got some people who they do flags, they do dance. I mean, I'd love to see, you like to dance? You know, dancing is good for you, you know? Kendra, I will go to dance, you know, I will. She's been after me to go to kind of dance class with her. Because she likes to dance, you know? But there's nothing like dancing, you know? There's nothing like, you know, some of you is like, some of you say, I can't dance. You can't dance and clap. You can't sing and clap. It really doesn't matter. Because God's not looking for perfection, but He's looking for you to celebrate Him. See, one of the things we do here, our worship service, we include, like what we did this morning, we celebrate the action of making God known. Now, when I say celebration, it could be amazing grace, how sweet the sound. It could be just like that. I saved. That's simple, right? Wretch like me. We all know. Or it could be like amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. That's one of the reasons I thank God that He blessed me with the ability of music. Because I can worship God with every style. And I encourage you, blow the box. Don't just listen to the hymns. I listen to the hymns. But men, find Afro gospel worship. And then you're like, man, sing mass. Like last week, Dan did that. And sing mass, oh, my Savior God to thee. How great thou. What do you feel right now? How great thou. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. Oh, hallelujah. How great thou. Oh, how great thou. This is my heart, and this has been my prayer, that we would not sustain worship, but we would be stewardship towards God's presence. We say, I want us to be a hosting place for God's presence. So as a worship leader, I mean, thank God I am the worship leader for now, training, you know, hopefully somebody else will come up. But I love worship leading. I don't lead you in worship. When I sing, when we do what we do here, it's not for you. You know, sometimes people will be like, all right, how was worship today? Did you like it? What a dumb question. Oh, I didn't like worship today. You know, pastor wasn't there. Yeah, I really like when pastor plays the guitar. You know how terrible that sounds? I didn't really like worship today because, oh, here, there's another one. Here, I'll tell you, this one. There's this one. Next week or in the coming weeks. It is well with my soul, with my soul. It is well with my soul. So, we do this, we sing a couple songs, where everybody sits quiet, and then they're going home like, man, worship was good today, right? Oh yeah, it was good, it was, I really love when they sing worship on the piano. Just the piano. You know, this whole drum thing is too loud. Let me remind you something you already know. Worship, wherever you found yourself, we start here, is never about you and I. And I think that's the focus. When we come together, and we start singing, Lord reigns. I invite you to join the angels. Declare this with me. Lord, the Lord reigns, the Lord reigns. We will sing it. The word shout. We're going to go there to Psalm 95. It says, shout to the Lord, all you people. Shout means shouting. It's shouting. Touchdown. Touchdown. Touchdown! Yeah! Yeah! I love football season. You know, you're watching the football, there's no action, you know, it's like, man, it's kind of boring game. And then, bing, your guy got the ball, and then you're like, wake up, yeah, yeah, let's go! Right? Because some of us, we're thinking, you know what, God is this serious God. When we come before Him, there's a certain way to talk. There's a certain way to be. Now, so we know that true worship has nothing to do with singing, because worship is a lie. It's a response to the revelation that Jesus is Lord and He's the only one worthy. Worship, let me tell you this again. Worship is a response to a revelation that Jesus is Lord and He's the only one worthy. Worship is more than singing. That's why someone could have the most angelic voice. Oh man, they're singing here and then they give you goosebumps. You're like crying. But if that person with this such angelic voice is not living a life that is in total surrender to Christ, you know what the Bible calls it? He says it. Jesus says, these people, they worship me with their lips. That's why when I sing, when I play, what makes my singing and my playing acceptable to God is the way I live my life on a daily basis. So if you're living your life in total surrender, for example, simple example, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So you shouldn't smoke your lungs to death. I mean, we can take drinking, everything you do. I don't think you should smoke in moderation. You know, some people, they have, you shouldn't drink. That's between you and the Lord. But you shouldn't be drunk. Okay? Or you shouldn't be so out of control, you eat anything and everything because you're destroying the temple of the Lord. So do you know how I worship God? One of the best way I need to worship God right now? I need to take care of my physical body. So you must be physically healthy. As much as I love ice cream, I shouldn't be eating ice cream every day. Because ice cream is going to make me a little big. Yes. And ice cream is going to, unless you're 85, like Bernie. Bernie, hats off. 84, yeah, 84. Sorry, Bernie. All right. And you know, and we are not talking about Bernie's ice cream, okay? I'm talking about your ice cream and my ice cream. You see, notice I made the difference, Bernie. Bernie and there's other brothers not here. But you get the message, right? Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So you honor Jesus with your body. Be careful, little eyes, what you watch. You honor the Lord even with what you watch. So then that's why when we come together and we're singing, and then we're singing this simple song, worship celebration or adoration, proclamation. Sometimes a worship can be a prayer, like what we were doing, knowing you. That was a prayer song. You know that? That was a prayer song. It says, let me bring back the words for you. It says, verse 2, now my heart's desire is to know you. Oh Lord, now my heart's desire is to know you, to be found in you and be known as yours. Oh Lord, now today my heart's desire, this is not a song, this is a prayer. I'm praying, I'm like, God, you know, my heart's desire is to know you. You know what it means to be known? In the context of marriage and sexual relationship, in the context, that's how a husband be known. There's no shame. It's like there's this depth of connection, the way God created it to be. Our relationship with Christ is deeper. To be known of Him and for you to know Him. And that's the kingdom's gospel. God wants to know you. He already knows us. But He wants you and I to know Him. To be known by Him. To possess by faith what I couldn't earn. All surpassing gift of righteousness. Meaning there's nothing I can do to earn or to make me righteous. Or to know the power of your ways in life. This is the gospel. And to know you in your suffering. You know, this whole mindset that when you come to Jesus, everything's gonna be all right. Yeah, everything's gonna be all right. But Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but through it all, I give you my peace. And we all know how much it cost Christ to set us free, right? Cost Him everything. You know how much it will cost you to experience Christ's resurrection in your life? Everything. Unless you die to yourself, unless you give yourself entirely to Him, you won't experience the gospel. You'll be religious. You know God by your knowledge, head knowledge, but then when people look at your life, they see no difference between you and the world, except you go to church, you go to mass. Why do we sing? I make it clear for you. When we sing our songs, we sing them to the Lord. Whether you have the passion to sing like me or not, or whether you are just part of the joyful noises, you know? Because some of you are joyful noises. God wants to hear your noise. You know, for example, can we shout hallelujah? Let's shout hallelujah together.
Hallelujah!
Let's try it again.
Hallelujah!
It's good. And I think that's something I'm going to encourage you to do at home. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Oh, there's nothing like it actually breaks chains. You try it. Hallelujah. Yes. Oh, Jesus. You don't know how many times, especially this season. I every day now, I'm like, hallelujah, Jesus. Woo! Jesus. Hallelujah. Of course, some of you, you're going to feel like, are you a little embarrassed to shout hallelujah? Some of you might think, you know, some of you might think, it's not me. That's not me. I'm not like that. Really? You have to be like that because why? God wants it. Let me show you why. How He wants it. I'll show you why He wants it. First of all, according to the Bible dictionary, the strong number G4351, the word worship means this. To kiss the hands. Excuse me. That's worship. Poskuneo. Worship. Kiss. Oh, I want to put this image in your mind. Because when you come before the Lord, loosen up a little bit. I've seen it. I've seen it. Some of you're getting looser. You know, you lift up your hands. You know, some of you are like, oh. Yeah, you know, it's like. Remember, true worship has nothing to do with that. Because you could be doing this, but then your life is not right with the Lord. But if your life is right with the Lord, when you come and you're kissing the feet, you're kissing the hands, you're kissing the heart of Christ, you know what he does? He comes and He pours Himself in you. That's when you're like, yes, I experience peace that surpasses all understanding. I hope you can get what I'm saying, man, guys. To kiss, or in the token of reverence. For example, when I'm in the presence of God, I turn my phone off. And I encourage you. It actually used to irritate me when I see people come. I see it sometimes. People come to church and they are, you know, on their phones. Now, I'll give you the authority when you sit here in our church. If you see somebody texting on their phone, you know, just like, take it away. With a smile on your face, like, put it away. Like that, you know? You know what that shows? You have no respect for God. Believe me, I've got tons of version of the Bible on my phone. You are free to use your phone as a Bible, but have a physical Bible. You come into church, have your Bibles. Have your notes. We become this new generation. You know, there's nothing like, I begin to print my notes. Like what I'm talking about now, I printed them out. Because sometimes iPads stop working. Reverence. When you step in here, don't just think, oh, God is in the house. No, when you step out, know that God goes with you. When you step in your car, knows that God is with you in your car. So everything you do it with respect, reverence, worship. Worship is reverence. You know, there's the other thing. I know sometimes, even for me, I've got this left knee that's acting a little crazy. So going up and down as quick is not like it used to be anymore. So I get it. We might get to an age where, you know, getting on our face is not something you do so easy. So I'm not saying you must be on your face, but there's nothing like finding this time to be on your face before the Lord. First of all, you know what's going to happen? Your mind is going to start going 1,000 directions. It's okay. Let your thoughts go with God to those directions and make room for Him. You know, a lot of religion, other religion, they know what it's like to meditate. For example, you know, I've seen people go to yoga trying to find peace. You know, trying to find peace within. There's no peace within. There's no peace within. There's no peace within. You all know where you find peace. Jesus Christ is our Prince of Peace. So worship. Remember that. When you bow down, you express your... This is another sign. I encourage you to do it. Why do we sing? Why do we raise our hands? Oh, Jesus. You know, that's a sign of I give it up. I surrender entirely all to you. You have it all. Jesus. You know, according to the word of God, why do we worship? Because God wants it. Worship is not just singing. Just worship is bringing your entire self to God. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, repeat. Every hour, every moment throughout the day. Worship is bringing your entire self on the altar. I say, God, this is what I'm dealing with. I give it to you. If you ever find yourself in a situation where you don't know what to do, trust. You know what trust is? Go and read Hebrews chapter 11. Trust is relying. God, I don't understand, but I trust you. You know, people get burned out. People go backwards because they stop trusting. I will keep believing. A lot of time when we talk about worship, people make the reference of singing. So today I want you to put in your mind, and when we talk about worship, we're not just talking about singing. We're talking about you living a life that is in total surrender with God. Listen to what it says in Isaiah 29 verse 13 from the NLT. It says, "And so the Lord says, these people say they are mine. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is nothing but man-made rules learned by rote. Because of this, I will once again astound these hypocrites." We don't want to worship God with just our lips. I don't want that for us. I want your worship to touch God's heart. So when you go out from this place, you would live a blessed life. And I want you to understand, when we do what we do to create an atmosphere of worship, it's not about you. It's never about you. Of course, we're working to make the sound not sound so loud, you know, so it's, you know, because sometimes we don't, you know, we are limited in human resources. You know, it's like I think the guitar's on, the guitar's not on, I think the levels. It's like sometimes crazy things happen. I remember this one time I was playing my electric during practice. Everything sounded good. And then all of a sudden I'm playing and the guitar was just so loud. You know, so it's technical difficulties. So we get it. It happens. But our worship here is not people-focused, centered. It's Christ-centered. And that's the way it always gonna be until I see Jesus face to face. We're not here for a show. We're not here, you know, we thank God for being able to upgrade our lights. But we're not looking for light shows, smoke shows. It's God bless those who does it. It's there. I'm not saying it's bad or anything. No, this is just not what we want to do. We want to keep it simple, Jesus-centered. You come here. When you come here, give a room to the Holy Spirit. Because believe me, listen to me. If you are here and you listen to me right now, and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, your life is not a worship to Christ, I'm going to be sorry for you if death come. It won't be good for you if the trumpet sound and you don't make it. God wants your life to honor him. We don't want to honor him with good songs, good feeling good songs. That's why when I choose a song, I go and see if it's biblically founded. You know, there's a lot of song that talks about, God, you give me this. Lord, you give me that. Lord, you do this. Lord, you do this for me. Do this for me. Like, you know, me, 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 me. Remember, Lord, it's me. Remember? Don't forget. I'm going to say it again. It's me. It's never about me. I want to come and listen to this. Psalm 95. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Listen to this. Let us what? Sing for joy. What do we sing? So even when I come, I don't feel the joy. But what do I sing? I sing for joy. I tell you, try it. Sometimes I would wake up and I have just feel a bad day. And then I go in the sanctuary. Or I go in my office, I grab my guitar, and I start singing. And you already know, me and the Lord, we've got this relationship. Sometimes I go to God with my guitar on my piano, or God's like, no, Ricardo, no singing. I just want you to sit. I'm like, okay, sure. But there's nothing like me expressing, soaking. A lot of people won't get it. What do you do soaking for? You come in the sanctuary for 1 hour, 2 hours. You just sing to the Lord. What do you do? There's something about being with the Lord. Come, let us sing for joy. Now remember, there's a difference between shout and whisper. It says, shout, let us shout aloud. Shout! Jesus, It's not
Jesus.
Now, there are times you can whisper Jesus. But there's nothing like shouting, the name of Jesus. Ah, Jesus. So there is a story after the earthquake in Haiti. You know, the witch doctor is a voodoo priest. A voodoo priest, they call out demons between midnight and 3 a.m. So they cast spells. I mean, crazy stuff they do. It's real. So people go to their voodoo temple for many different things. But most of the time when somebody find themselves in a situation, you know, for example, an accident. I mean, I've been in accident. I've rolled cars before. But I remember every time those things are happening, the first name I call, Jesus! Right? Have you ever find yourself in a situation? Jesus! Right? And everybody called Jesus. Because at the end of the day, it is Jesus. But the problem is, does Jesus knows you? Does you calling Jesus, it's just like, everybody could be like, Dad, 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 Dad. It won't mean nothing until Ryan and Alyssa says Dad. Everybody in the world can be like, hey, Dad, Papi, Dad, Father. You know, first of all, I know their voice. I know, believe me, if Alyssa, even for Priscilla, if they call, Dad, oh, what? I was, well, why? Because there is this intimate connection, dad and son and daughter. That's why people can call the name of Jesus all the time. But until their life is in perfect unity with Jesus, it means nothing. So, during the earthquake, the earth is shaking, is a 7 magnitude earthquake. A lot of people died that day. A lot of people, sad day. So then the voodoo priest with his apprentice was in the voodoo temple. So then the voodoo temple started, you know, people dying, they were doing something. And then the priest with his apprentice, while they're together, the apprentice start calling like the name of the devil. The name of the devil. You know, sometimes the apprentice has more zeal than the master. So he started calling whatever name they were calling. And then the voodoo priest tap him. He's like, in this situation, it's Jesus. I say, Jesus. In this situation, it's Jesus. So then, of course, the apprentice start calling Jesus. Jesus, you know, save us, son of David. Shout to the Lord. And I give you this challenge to shout to the Lord in your situation. Listen to what it says in Romans chapter 12, one of our favorite verses in the Bible. I have it in 2 different versions. In NLT says, so my dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done to you. So my plea for you, to you to this morning, that you give your bodies. You worship God with your bodies. Worship God with your lips. Worship God with your hands. So that's why you can't touch anything. You cannot walk. You cannot go anywhere. You cannot wear anything. See, that's the thing. We lost this type of reverence. When you understand your body, especially for the young girls, when you understand your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, you don't dress anywhere, anyhow, any way. You dress in a way that honors the Lord. Now, I'm not saying go and find a sheet and cover yourself up. No, you were created in the image of God. So God is beautiful. God is honor. I mean, is the word I'm looking for is modest. So offer your bodies to him. Let them be living in holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way you to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and the custom of this world. Now, the best way to worship God, do not copy the behavior. Do not copy the style of this world. But let God transform you into a new person by what? How? Changing the way you think. Oh Lord, help us. Then, when he changed the way you think, that's how, that's when you get to discern what God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. And listen to what the same verse says in the TPT, the Passion Translation. It says, beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? To surrender yourself to God, to be his sacred, meaning the word sacred here in the Greek means connected with God. You are connected with God. Your connection with God keeps you sacred, keeps you holy. What should our proper response be towards God's marvelous response? Well, to surrender. Stop fighting. Living a life of worship means living a life of surrender. Are you surrendering or are you resisting? I know people who backslid because they can't surrender. You can't surrender. You can't choose God and the world at the same time. You know, it's like they want to go to church and then go to wild parties at the same time. It doesn't work. You have to make a choice. And unfortunately, for them, they choose death. But I pray, as for me and you, we would continue to choose life. We would continue to live a life that honors God, living sacrifices, and live in holiness. Holiness is not an option. You must be holy in all you do. Man, guys, there's nothing like living a life with a free conscience, with a clear conscience. Oh, man, I don't know if you haven't tried, try it. It's like you go to bed in relationship. I'm so in peace with my wife, with my kids, with my father, with my mother, with my sisters, with my neighbors. You know, because you retire in trying to change people. There's nothing like experiencing peace in that. And that's what the word is saying here in Romans chapter 12. Living in holiness, experiencing all that delights his heart. For this becomes your genuine expression of worship. Now, if you look at the same verse right here on the screen, go back. How is your worship being genuine? By surrender. A genuine worship towards God is a life that is in total surrender to him. What are some areas in your life you need to surrender? What are some areas in your personal life you need to surrender right now? You need to discipline yourself. Maybe it's your addiction. Maybe it's eating one meal a day. Maybe it's exercising. The Lord's telling you, you know what? You need to exercise. You know, God talks like that. That voice that's telling you need to exercise is not the devil. The devil doesn't like you that much. The more you feel sluggish, however, the more you feel like that, the more you feel depressed, the more you live in anxiety, the less you sleep, the more tired you are, the better it is for him. Do you also know exhaustion is one of the tool of the enemy to destroy you? Exhaustion. We're always tired. The American dream's killing us. Because we're always tired. We blew the Sabbath day. In the name of grace, in the name of freedom, we think we don't need the Sabbath anymore. So we work 7 days a week, nonstop. We leave no room for our mind to reboot, for our body to rest. We work. And we're choking. Can I have an amen? Oh, believe me. Hey, this is the word of the Lord. Stop imitating the ideas and opinion of this culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you, how you to discern God's will and how you live a beautiful life. My goodness. One of my favorite movies, It's a Beautiful Life. It's a Wonderful Life. Oh, it is. The Wonderful Life makes a beautiful life. Yeah. But yeah, It's a Wonderful Life. Man, I watch this movie a couple times a year. You don't have to wait for Christmas. Go check it out. Because sometimes we don't get it. God wants you to live a wonderful life. The enemy wants us to live a miserable life. We were created to worship God. I invite the worship team to come up. And I'll continue next week. Father, we thank you that you've given us this blessing, the opportunity to worship you, Lord. And we shout your praise today. I want us to pray this prayer. Let my life be worship. You know? And as we pray this, if any of you needs to come to the altar and make things right with the Lord, once again, please. Give an answer to the word of the Lord today. Thank you, Father. We say, let my life be a worship. Let my life be a sanctuary to you, Father. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would sanctify us this morning. We thank you for your word.